Hi, everyone. My name is Father Ryan Adorjan, and I am madly in love with the person of Jesus Christ. And if anybody wants to talk about that, call me. One of my favorite things about priesthood so far has been feeling unexpectedly, I'll admit, fatherly. And I get excited on the weekends because it's like, yes, the kids are coming home. And I get to see them and hear about their week and what's going on. And sometimes that's a very exciting thing. And sometimes it's a more difficult thing. Because sometimes dad had a great week and wants to share in that. And sometimes dad needs to sit you down and tell you something. And I could feel tears right here, to be honest. I need to tell you something, family. Pay attention. I am a priest, and I'm in love with Jesus Christ, and I am far from perfect in so many ways. In the past couple of weeks, the American church has watched a scandal develop again, a scandal that has largely been ignored by the mass media. Implicated this time is not a parish priest, but an ecclesial powerhouse, now former Cardinal Theodore McCarrick, who's the Archbishop Emeritus of Washington. The scandal, like all the others, began with the publication of harrowing, gut-wrenching words that an accusation of abuse of a minor had been deemed credible and substantiated. I know the history of this parish because I have read it and because I have heard it, but I have not lived it, and I don't pretend to have lived it. I acknowledge that it's you, the people, who know the history of this place better than me because you lived it, and because you were hurt by it, and because you are healing from it. And I am your father now, here, today, and there are certain things that I want you to know. The first is that I'm sorry for the actions of my brother priests and of those men who we all trusted and who let us down in the most egregious ways. I'm sorry for the ways, less extreme, to be sure, that my own sinfulness has harmed my ministry here. I am called to be Christ for you. The second is that I love you very much, because I love the goodness that I see in you, the truth that I have found in you, and the beauty that I witness in you on a daily basis. And because I love you, I want to tell you that I feel very strongly that the Father, with Jesus, his Son, through the power of the Holy Spirit, has brought his church again to a familiar fork in the road. And the way that we choose to walk has possibly cosmic ramifications. The days of being Catholic because I was raised Catholic are over. The days of being Christian because Christianity is simply an ethical system of being nice to others are over. And the days of tailoring our own brand of Catholicism to fit the needs of our time and place and views and preferences are over. We are not called to follow a system, rules, or guidelines, but a person. We come to know about him through books, talks, homilies, encounters with others, but we come to know him precisely by doing what it is he asked of us. Take up your cross and follow me. We have to follow what the Lord continues to give us through what he causes to happen in front of our eyes, facing life determined by a presence that becomes more familiar to us with every passing circumstance. To believe that one is a Christian through the proper philosophy, theology, spirituality, morality, or cultural project is a presumption, because it sees our efforts as the cause of our belonging to Christ. But instead, we become Christians because the Christ has appeared to us in history, because Christ lived our life and died our death and rose from the dead, because Christ sent us his Spirit exactly as he said he would, and because those events continue to happen in the world today. They happen now because they happened then, and because the church exists in a world, and the church is the life of a communion of persons created by these events and who make those events present in the sacraments. These happen again today because Christ has risen from the dead, and he can be encountered in exactly the same ways, with exactly the same results, experienced by Andrew, James, John, Peter, Mary Magdalene, the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well, the man born blind, Zacchaeus, and the criminal on the cross next to him, because something happened to them in those moments. And that is the key to the Christian life. It's not an intellectual or cultural proposal that will change us, but an event and an encounter. In other words, a truly Christian life is one in which a person has truly come to know Jesus in the everydayness, in the vicissitudes, in the minutiae of our lives. It is a life in which everything, from major choices to the smallest decisions, are subject to the question, is this what Jesus wants? Is this where Jesus is leading me? And how can we know that we are following him? Sometimes we do all the right things and we say all the prayers, and it seems like maybe nothing's happening. How do we know? We know by the hundredfold. Jesus says that everyone who follows me will receive a hundredfold in this life. And it's not going to be the hundredfold that we imagine, the big house and the nice car and the picket fence or whatever, because what Jesus will do to our lives is so much more than we can imagine. But the hundredfold is the test. We must verify whether, in following him, you are happier, freer, more capable of a life that is not a lament, that you are able to face every circumstance, whether beautiful or ugly, with an ultimate positivity. We spend so much time going out and believing that all that Jesus asks of us is to be nice. That's important. But it's about much more than that. To go out and ensure only social justice, only good manners, only please and thank you, is to work for a food that perishes. But the food that Jesus gives, the way he is asking us to live, the gifts he wishes to give us, this is the food that endures to eternal life. So they said to him, "What can we do to accomplish the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he has sent." That every part of you believes in him. That every part of your life screams the presence of Jesus. That everything you do and everything you say breathes into the world something new. That people will know that there is something different about you simply because a new kind of gladness appears on your face. So much of the nonsense in the church is built on a foundation of mediocrity. There are so many people who simply believe that coming in here and sitting and standing and kneeling here means that they are a Christian. The nonsense of our sinfulness, of our sinfulness, mine too, that so many of us experience, this, the nonsense of this is rooted in the fact that I have not yet given my definitive yes to Christ and to His church. I keep my options open should a more appealing deity come by, should a more appealing option come by. We have tried to change the church, to make it what we think it should be, when really it is Christ through His church who should be changing us to make us into who He created us to be. We look around and we see scandal because somehow those who have not said yes and who have in many ways given us their resounding no have fallen. I want to tell you that the church needs our yes, the priests and the people and the priests. Jesus needs our yes. He needs our yes in order to do anything in the world, because through our yes, hope enters the world in the smallest ways. The more that I say yes to Christ, the more I see little openings for my own creativity, opportunities for me to love humanity, starting with my own family, my coworkers who I see every day. I give my little yes freely with the hope that the one who redeems everything will use my yes to enter the world. Your yes will not look radical according to the world's definition of what is radical. It will look small. It will look simple. It will look like Christ. It will look like taking a break from the big game to help with bedtime. It will look like telling someone that their hard work is noticed and matters. It will look like taking the extra shift or the extra time off, whichever one your family really needs. It will look like deleting the apps on your phone that cause you to sin. It will look like walking away from gossip and malice and bad jokes. It will look like opening a Bible and beginning to read it. It will look like regular and consistent prayer. It will look like regular confession and true sorrow for sin. It will look like Mass. So they said to him, "What sign can you do that we may see and believe in you? What can you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the desert, as it is written." So Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, for my Father gives you the true bread from heaven." So they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst." Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." You will not find life. We will not find gladness. We will not find hope. We will not find a remedy for our fear anywhere but from there, anywhere but from Him. And when will we say, "Enough is enough"? I cannot go back in time, even if I wish I could make that happen. I can't go back in time to change the behavior of the people who have hurt us. But as a Christian man, as your brother, as your father, as a priest, I want to give you again today my yes. I want to give this parish again my yes. I want to give the Church of God, so wounded and toiled, my yes. I can and do and try to give Jesus again and again my yes. May the Eucharist, the bread of life, which we will receive from this table, may it remain our bond of unity and the source of our charity. May it be the strength that each one of us needs to abandon our mediocrity, to embrace the possibility of the hundredfold, to turn to Christ and to beg him, "Sir, give us this bread always." More than anything, may we find in it the courage to give ourselves permission, finally, finally, to give him again our yes. Hi, everyone. My name is Father Ryan, and I am madly in love with the person of Jesus Christ. And if anybody ever wants to talk about that, call me.